Getting you. Welcome to Random Mania! This is a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match at random. And then we talk about it and we give it a rating on a scale of 1 to 5 HBKs. And then we pick another match at the end for next week. So, you know, that's how it works. My name is Brad. Joining me this week, as always, is the hungover birthday boy, the Mo to my Mabel.
Is that because you're assuming Moe's older?
Yeah, he looked pretty old. All right. He was the dyed blonde goatee, made him look like an old guy. It's my brother, Matt.
Hi. Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is the day after my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I might be a little bit tired and slightly hungover. But I'm good. I'm alive. I'm ready to do this show. Since we haven't gone by our promise of doing one every week.
Yes. Yeah, it was our New Year's resolution. And I believe this is like our second show.
Yes.
And it's the end of the month. But, hey, you know what? You got to start somewhere and get back on the right track, right?
You damn right.
And what better place to start than talking about this instant classic from the match we had this week, which was from 2015, WrestleMania 31. What was it, Matt?
It was Sting in his first match ever with the WWE against Triple H. Time to play the game.
That's right. Stipulation on the match was there was no DQ.
No DQ, yeah.
So that's the only stipulation. They billed the match as being basically the last fight in the Monday Night War, right?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of.
Sting, the only person, like the only star in WCW that never wrestled in WWE, finally coming in into the enemy territory. And trying to mess with things, and Triple H says, "Not in my house. Let's fight at WrestleMania.
Let's do it." Yeah, and Sting, I'm talking about, had debuted the previous Survivor Series, came out during the Team Cena versus Team Authority match and helped Team Cena kind of get the upper hand.
Yeah, help
beat Team Authority.
Wasn't it Ziggler?
It was Ziggler, yeah. I was a sole survivor for Team Cena, and that's where Sting came up for the first time, and he made some sporadic appearances here and there until this started getting some momentum for WrestleMania.
Yeah, doing a lot of pointing at things with his back.
Yeah, doing a lot of pointing at things, yeah, as he always did. It's like a Sting thing.
Doing a lot of staring at people until he got on the microphone, then you remember with Sting. Sting hasn't been that mute since 97, and he's been pretty vocal on the microphone right. Ever since, but, you know. You see Sting for the first time and he doesn't say anything. It's pretty badass. Creative, I don't know. That was... What else can you do, I guess? You got to go off of something, right? You don't really have anything.
Yeah, Sting, I think the whole world thought that he was going to go against The Undertaker, and that just didn't happen for whatever reason.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why. I don't know. It made too much sense.
Yeah.
Still think the option is open. I haven't been reading the sheets for what's going to happen at Mania or who's involved and who isn't, but isn't it still a possibility that if Sting's health is with it, that he could wrestle Taker?
Yeah, but I don't think he can wrestle. He hurt his neck pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah, this was the Seth Rollins match as Night of Champions. Wasn't that what it was?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So anyway... so it was going to be Sting and Triple H instead. And we watched this WrestleMania together. It was the first Mania we'd seen together in probably about 8 years.
Maybe longer. Yeah, I know 2007 for sure. We watched WrestleMania 23 together.
Yep.
But I think that was the last one until this one.
Yeah, because you moved to Madison in November of 2007.
Yes, I did.
So then I didn't see any Manias until 28, so the 24, 25, 26, 27. I've seen 25. I went back and watched that, but I haven't seen those other ones just because my brother wasn't around and I wasn't into wrestling at the time. So, but this was the first one that we got to watch together. You were actually at my house here in Nashville, and it was sort of a coincidence because you guys were just coming to visit for my birthday. Caleb, our good friend Caleb, friend of the show, was coming down. The listener was coming down to visit and brought my wonderful brother with him. And I texted him like a couple weeks before they were coming. I was like, "You guys, you know, you're gonna be here for WrestleMania, right?" Neither of us had realized.
So yeah, it's true.
That's funny how it worked out. But I was glad.
I watched the pre-show matches on my phone in the car, then the ladder match, and the Orton Rollins match. And we got there right when this match was happening. This was like right when we got there, and like here comes Sting.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. That's fun.
Because you were like, I just saw the greatest finish in that Orton Rollins match. Unbelievable. Which we'll talk about if we ever get that match. So this was happened right away when we got there. I got to see all the drums and the gongs from a bunch of Asian dudes bringing Sting out.
Yeah, that was great. I was wondering where they hired them from because it was pretty. That's pretty good.
It was pretty sweet. It was different. I mean, and Sting coming out during the daylight is a little different, you know. I think if it would have been at night or an indoor place, or the entrance would have probably been a lot cooler. But what are you going to do when it's, you know, California and it's 5 in the afternoon and still light outside?
Well, the same thing happened to Taker and Bray Wyatt.
That's true, too.
You know, those guys that have darkened arena entrances and they're doing it in broad daylight. Mm-hmm. But they did different stuff. At least I remember with Bray Wyatt, they did something
like scarecrows.
Yeah, that's what it was. So they had something else going on, which is fun. But yeah, with this one, yeah, again, it was the same. Yeah, another Sting comes out in the dark, so coming out in broad daylight was different. But
he had a sweet jacket. His the big long red and black coat was really sweet. Mm. I was like, that's the first thing I wrote down. Actually, looked pretty sweet. I wish he would have wet his hair down. That would have been nice.
Yeah, went down that bald spot.
It's a little fluffy. Yeah. He's a little old. I mean, he is 56 years old for this match. I don't know if you know that.
No, I did not realize how old Sting was, I guess. I hadn't thought
56.
About it.
56. And he didn't really look 56, I'll be honest, but he definitely was 56.
Okay.
Do you know how old Triple H was?
I guess it's probably around 46.
45.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is kind of, here's an irony moment. I wrote down the words Terminator because he came out with all the Terminator stuff. And right before we recorded, I was watching that Terminator movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. That's a little irony for you.
So that's fun. Triple H, he came out, well, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, introduced him.
Kind of, yeah.
Essentially.
Time to play the game.
Yeah. And then there were all the Terminator bots on the stage, and Triple H rose up from the stage with that Terminator mask thing on, and he's holding Terminator heads in his hand. Which I remember saw this amazing picture sometimes between WrestleMania and now. I believe it was on Facebook where it was like one of those memes or whatever, like how you feel when you carry all the groceries in one trip. And it was that picture of Triple H holding the skulls, but they replaced them with grocery bags. I don't want to find it. Sweet. I want to find it and post it on the WrestleMania Facebook page if I can find it, because it was pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
So, yeah, Trips comes out with his ridiculous entrance that he'll always have. And you kind of see, like, this was a big show. This is a big spectacle. This is a big show. And when you got two of the bigger names in the history of the business, it should be.
Exactly.
And I was going into it thinking, both when I rewatched it and when I watched it initially, like, there's no way they're not going to put on a good show. It's probably not going to be a great match, but they're probably going to put on a great show.
Mm-hmm. I didn't expect a whole lot from it. But I figured something would happen that would make it worthwhile.
Yes, sure. So, yeah, the entrances take a solid 15 minutes, probably. I don't know. But
it's fucking forever, man. Forever. It was a long time. It was probably like 5 minutes per entrance,
yeah,
at least. But whatever, it was still good. Some of the people that were dressed up in the, I don't know if there was fatigues or the soldier get-ups when Triple H came up, those are a bunch of NXT wrestlers.
Oh, yeah?
Enzo was one of them. One of the referees was one. If you go and watch, there's a new thing on the WWE Network, the 24 for Silicon Valley.
Uh-huh. Probably,
they're
probably should have watched that before recording this episode to get some more insight.
There's some really cool behind-the-scenes stuff with this entrance for Triple H where Vince is like, do it again. Vince is like, all right, we're going to do it again, run it again. We're going to get it perfect, get all the camera angles. It's pretty cool to actually go and check out because they run through the entrances for Sting and Triple H because they're following Sting.
Sure. I wanted to watch that. I just haven't gotten around to it. I'm watching too many movies. But it would be, it's on my to-do. It's on my things, shit to do. So, okay. So anyway, I don't remember.
The match.
Yeah.
Just a nice slow start.
Oh yeah, that's right. I remember now. Yeah, it kind of starts out with a nice, you know, with a slow start because you know they're going to build something bigger, which is what you're supposed to do. So I was fine with that.
Sound like Triple H, or sound like JR. Start slow and build something bigger. Anyway, yeah, real slow start, but then they get a chant from the crowd, this thing that says, "You still got it."
Yeah, which I always cringe a little bit when they do the "You still got it," because yeah, he still got it, or else he wouldn't be in there.
Pretty much.
But they were doing it for somebody else. Oh, there was it Dreamer? When Dreamer came back a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
You know, Chan, you still got it? I was like, yeah, he wrestles every weekend.
Yeah, yeah, he's got his own damn promotion.
He's got his own promotion, and he's wearing gear from it. You know?
Yeah, but they nice, slow start, kind of a classic wrestling match, you know, back and forth with, you know, not a whole lot of, I don't want to say drama, but it was kind of perfect. You know, Triple H will take a powder as the heel and kind of like, they get a little bullish and Sting have a little mini comeback on him. That was pretty cool. Mm. I don't know. It was just a real classic start with normal, good old classic wrestling moves. Swig of water for the working man.
I'm going to leave that swig of water in without saying anything.
There you go.
So, yeah. So, they do that for a good while. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, they do fight on the outside a little bit. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if they were calling this match in the ring or if it was really planned out. Because you can see Triple H talking to Sting at one point, calling a spot.
Yeah.
So I wrote down the words "calling it in the ring?" question mark. Because I'm wondering if they did or not. These, I mean, these are two guys you could probably trust to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
They just don't do that
anymore. I assume that they had a bare bones, like a fishbone, whatever you want to say, of what they want to do with the match. And fill in the gaps on the fly. That's probably what they did. Like, they knew the spots that were coming.
Yeah, I assume. I was just wondering, because generally I don't see people calling spots anymore a lot. And he was definitely doing it during this match, so that was cool. Do you notice that they had giant freaking bruises? Triple H had, like, a giant bruise on his leg, and Sting had, like, a giant bruise on his side.
Yeah, I remember Sting's giant bruise on his side, for sure.
And like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's because they're out in daylight and that those fluorescent lights don't, you know, cover up or something. But Jesus, I was like, these guys are kicking each other's ass, or they're just beat up from before. I don't know. So, referee Charles Robinson, still looking for a tap out because the Scorpion Deathlock gets put on Triple H.
That's right. Locks it in.
And guess who? So.
D-Generation X.
Break it down!
Yeah. Which I'd forgotten about. I forgot a lot of stuff about this match until I rewatched it, which is kind of a bad sign. But I even forgot a lot about this match, even though I watched it again.
Really? Well, that's when DX comes out. And it was Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, and X-Pac.
Mm.
They come out to, help Triple H, right? Because he was it was a Monday Night Wars thing, and DX was big during the Monday Night Wars, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Sting dives on everybody because he's. That's all he can do.
Yeah.
But it wasn't good, you know? And then he gets it back in the ring and he takes a pedigree, but he kicks out, and I was pissed. I hate that everyone just has to kick out of every finisher just because it's WrestleMania. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's the place where finishers go to die. The most useless move in wrestling history as far as success rate on achieving and then achieving victory after hitting has got to be the AA. I think it's the most kicked out finishing move in wrestling history.
Unless it's at a house show. Then it's going to win every time. So after the kick out from the pedigree, we get another little surprise.
Mm-hmm.
The NWO comes out.
The NWO comes out to help Sting.
Because that makes no sense.
Because Kevin Nash and Triple H are best friends, and so is Skull.
And Sting never... Sting was against the NWO.
Yeah, except for when he joined the Wolfpack, I guess.
But it was only Kevin Nash.
It was only Kevin Nash. Hogan and Sting feuded, like, forever.
Yeah, like 2 years. Yeah. 3 years. I don't know. It was just weird. I understand it. It's a Monday Night Wars thing, so they're kind of representing WCW. It was just really convoluted, in my opinion. Oh. But since it only took them 4.5 minutes to get to the ring, because they're fucking slow as hell, you had a lot of time to think of what, you know, was going on. My God, are they slow.
Yeah, and then... You had X-Pac, who technically was in both groups.
He was in the NWO?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I get it. You're just trying to get some dudes out there and create a little buzz and get some pops, but I don't know. It was just...
Mm. My biggest
issue. That's where I lost the match for me. I was like, it was a good match, and now it's not anymore.
My biggest issue with the entire thing is this entire match, Sting's first match in WWE at WrestleMania, the big stage, this big moment, this is going to be a great classic of all time. The whole thing was used, it felt like, as a promotional tool for the Monday Night Wars program on the WWE Network.
Kinda, yeah.
That felt like that was the sole purpose of this match existing, was to have to get people interested in watching the Monday Night Wars on the network and get more subscribers. Yeah. That sucks.
It does suck. It does.
I mean, with those run-ins and with just the commentary just not shutting up about the past and not really focusing, I mean, a little bit, but really keeping bringing up the past, like the Monday Night Wars and the Monday Night War, Monday Night Wars. I don't know. Really took something away.
Did for me, too. I did the night watching it live, and I did watching it now this past week or two for this match.
We'll talk about this, though, during the match that was surprised me both times, and I'm still surprised it happened. Scott Hall takes a bump on the floor.
He did take a big bump, too, like a back body drop.
Right? Yeah, he was going to razor's edge somebody, or outsider edge, whatever it is.
It was Road Dogg.
Okay, yeah, Road Dogg. And he, yeah, backdrops him on the concrete. On the Scott floor. Hall, who can barely, you know, I mean, granted, he's better now, but, you know.
Yeah, he's a little healthier.
But that's all, man's been through a lot of abuse on himself through his life.
Yeah, that was, good. Yeah, that was one of the better bumps of the whole match. Anyway,
so it makes me happy that Scott Hall is in physically in a position to take a bump on the outside, right? You know,
I agree. I'm with you 100%. Even when I remember seeing it live and then watching it for this, being like, "Holy cow!"
Yeah, holy Scott Hall took a bump on the floor.
Kevin Nash clotheslined X-Pac and did not blow his quad, so I was happy about that.
I think he was laying on the ground holding his quad like he pretended he did, though.
Making it like he heard it. Yeah. That's what Logan commented, too, on the Random Mania Facebook page.
Well,
that he liked how Nash was feigning his quad.
It looked like he was doing that, for real. So I hope he was. If that's the truth, that's great.
Because
he was holding his leg.
It was.
Let's see here.
So, yeah, as we're talking about DX and the NWO, they all fight. And as you know, Sting or Triple H is kind of looking at the outside. Sting gives him a death drop, right? Yeah. That was called Scorpion Death Drop.
Death Drop, yes, that's right.
And then it's a kick out because it's what everybody fucking does. Mm-hmm. A little more back and forth, and another Scorpion Deathlock getting applied to Triple H when out of nowhere, Shawn Michaels.
And that's the one that really surprised me. I completely forgot. Once that DX came out, I remember that the NWO came out and all that stuff happened. I completely forgot about Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels with Sweet Chin Music in cowboy boots.
Yeah.
Sting.
Mm-hmm.
But he barely hit him. But it was a good effort because he's wearing cowboy boots.
Yeah, and his cowboy jeans.
Very, very, very cowboy jeans. So, yeah, that was pretty cool seeing Shawn Michaels, the one guy that never wrestled for WCW. Kicking Sting, the one guy that never wrestled for WWE until now, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
That is sweet.
Get a couple of... We get some 10 counts and everyone's back to their feet and NWO's cheering on Sting and DX is cheering on Triple H. We get a couple of Stinger splashes in the corner. And then... How did the freaking sledgehammer come into play? Oh, because the sledgehammer and the bat came into play.
Yeah, NWO gave Sting his bat. So
I think that was after Billy Gunn gave Triple H the sledgehammer.
Okay, I couldn't remember which one came first, but yeah, that seems right. So then Triple H takes the sledgehammer in the ring and kind of points it at Sting, and then Sting snaps it in half with his baseball bat.
Yeah, hits the sledgehammer and snaps the wood in half.
Which I thought just looked awful. I thought it looked stupid.
It was weird. That's when we get a couple, you know, some fighting, a couple scorpion, or scorpion, geez, Stinger splashes into the corner when Triple H nails Sting with a sledgehammer, reportedly.
Mm-hmm. Over the head.
Which would kill a normal man if it was, you know,
mm-hmm.
not wrestling.
And then you got the pink, you got the three count, right?
You got
the
three count, Triple H wins.
Yeah, which is a bit of a surprise to me. But
I kind of thought Sting would win just because it is his first match and kind of put him over a little bit, but there's no way that Vince is going to make it look like WCW beat WWE in the Monday Night Wars, and which that represented.
Mm-hmm. That's what it represented. So
there's no way Sting would win that match. At least not clean or in any way that would represent him as a winner. Yeah. I don't know.
Now, Sting went on to have one more match in WWE, as we talked about earlier, and he's wrestled Seth Rollins for the world title at Night of Champions. And lost there,
he hurt
too.
His neck.
He got his ass kicked.
Took like a powerbomb into the corner or something, and he whiplashed his neck and hurt his neck real bad.
Mm-hmm. Probably broke a hip, too, because he's old. So, that's fun that he had two matches in WWE, and one of them was against Seth Rollins. That's a nice thing for Seth.
Seth Rollins, makes Sting look like $1 million, too.
Oh, yeah.
Flying all over for him. So, this match, though, that was... How long do you think this match was, actually, from bell to bell? Not including entrances, not including the fucking handshake at the end, which we'll get to.
20 minutes?
18:36.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, which is a pretty good amount. And then plus the entrances and the shit at the end. It was about a half hour.
Yeah.
So after the match, as I just said, there's a handshake. So the NWO is in the corner with Sting, and Triple H is in the corner with DX, and Triple H and Sting are talking, and then they shake hands like nothing ever happened. So Sting just shook the hand of the man that
just hit him in the head with a sledgehammer.
Like, what the fuck? There's a little thing on that, too, on that network special where Sting's like, that wasn't about the match, it was just about two dudes that were happy to have a good match at WrestleMania, and it was Triple H just happy that he had a match, and thank you. I was like, oh, okay, I guess. Did you just throw that in there just to... So I'd be less pissed off about it. Shake his fucking hand.
Yeah. Damn. So that was that. What do you want to rate this son of a bitch?
2.5 stars. 2.5 HBKs for me. Huh? Because it is actually a pretty good match. I mean, up until all the run-ins, I liked the match. I liked the classic slow build of it when it kind of going. They didn't do a whole lot. If you look back, and I mean, there ain't a lot to this match.
No.
There isn't a lot. But, I mean, it does have some entertainment factor with your surprise of DX, NWO, Shawn Michaels. Very predictable on who would win, but could be worse. 2.5 HBK. Is that a fair assessment?
That's a fair assessment. I'm going less. I'm going with 2. I thought that, like you said, they didn't really do much. I mean,
for as much as the 18-minute long matches, they don't do a whole lot.
Yeah, to finish with the sledgehammer to the head, I would like to see Triple H tap out to the Scorpion Deathlock. I think that would have been a better thing. I think the run-in should have mattered more, should have made more sense. And if the whole thing wasn't just being used, like I said, as a tool, as a promotional tool for a new show or for a show on the network, I'd feel a little bit better about it too. But because it was, whatever. It was, a couple old guys rolling around with all their friends.
I got that sense of it, too.
80,000 fans,
I got that feeling, too. Like, they're just all buddies, and they just want to go out and fuck around for a while.
It was just like a nostalgia thing. Everyone was in town because Nash went in the Hall of Fame or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, like, 2 segments after this, he's up on stage wearing a tuxedo.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't great. It was nice to see Hogan, because we'll never see him for a while, so. Racist bastard.
Valid point. Yeah, valid point.
And I realized when I saw him coming out, I was like, huh, Hogan.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it. I just thought it was weird.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, we should pick one for next week.
All right, let me pull up the list.
Let me get my randomizer here.
Okay.
Let me know when you're ready, and I'll let her rip.
Yes, go ahead.
Ready?
I guess so. Yeah.
142
is Mark Merrow and Sable versus Goldust and Luna.
Luna from WrestleMania 14.
WrestleMania 14.
Sweet. I remember this match a little bit.
Is this
not like greatly? Is this the match where she powerbombs him?
I think there's a powerbomb in there somewhere.
Maybe it's on Luna.
I remember being fun.
God, we can hear Mark Merrill's awesome fucking music.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my god.
Which was used for like everything.
Yeah, it was used a lot. It was like
it was like actual theme I've heard in both WCW and WWE, by the way.
I remember WCW used to use it as like bumper music when they were like coming back from commercial or going to commercial.
Yeah.
Or like they're like, we're gonna be in Birmingham next week, things on TV, whatever.
It's like him and Crash Holly's music. I would hear it all over.
Yeah, that too. And I heard the Hardys music somewhere before too.
The Hardys too. Yeah. The doo, 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 doo. Yeah.
I heard that on like a movie preview or something like that.
Yeah.
Those were weird.
That's weird.
And like when you listen to Jim Johnston being on, like, he was on the Stone Cold podcast like well over a year ago talking about how every single piece of music was written by me. Did you write those ones? Because they were everywhere.
Maybe he did, but he sold them. Could or be. Maybe, you know, could be.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, here you go.
And he didn't write Roland.
No, he did not write Roland, motherfucker. Is this artist formerly known as Goldust, isn't it?
So it he's should really be. Fucking it's 90, yeah, it's 98, so it should be.
So it's really fucking weird.
I'm looking forward to this. This is
gonna be awesome. Or Harry's dad or some shit. That guy's still on Raw. I don't know. We can talk about that next week.
I'm excited. Yeah, we'll get to it. All so, right. Anyway, we want to thank y'all for listening and downloading this damn thing every week. Every month.
Every time we get to do it.
Every time we do it. Head on over to the Randomania Facebook page. Give it a like. Give a comment.
Yeah, Randomania Pod on Twitter, which I never tweet.
Mm-hmm. Except for unless you go see NXT, then you tweet from it.
I did go see NXT. We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
I saw NXT live in Green Bay a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
The main event was Finn Balor and Sami Zayn. It was phenomenal.
So, basically, we're excited about this episode. We're excited about next week's show. Let us know what you think in the comment section. Quite frankly, I want to say congratulations, man, sincerely, to Triple H. Yet another victory at WrestleMania. I mean, how many times does he lose at WrestleMania? Not many. He's like the other Mr. WrestleMania. We'll figure that out eventually. Congratulations, though, for real, even though you had a lot of help. Unfortunately, though, Sting?
You're fired! Oh, that hurt my hungover voice so bad. Time to play the game. Time to play the game. It's all about the game and how you play it. All about control. And if you can take it, all about your debt. And if you can pay it, it's all about pain. And who's gonna make it? I am the game. You don't wanna play me. I am control. No way you can shake me. I am heavy debt. No way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I make the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my move's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play. Balls.